Well, I do want to offer you a welcome to Providence Church. Welcome in to those who are joining us online. We're so glad that everybody is here today. If you're a guest here with us for the first time, a special welcome. My name's Jacob Armstrong. I'm one of the pastors here. In fact, there'll be a lot of things going on, but we would love after the service, if you're a guest right outside these doors to the left, there's an area that says connect, and we'd love to connect with you and just say thanks for being with us. Also, every week you have the opportunity to give financially. Actually, today you're going to hear some really cool things about what giving to the church looks like. But at the exit of each door over here, there's a basket where you can place offerings. I know many of you give in recurring ways online, and we thank you, thank you, thank you. Our scripture today is from Luke chapter 6. As we continue our study, I'm going to begin with verse 17. I want you to know this is a version of the Bible called the Message Version, which is a unique kind of, it was written to have sort of more normal language in it. We don't usually read from it, but I am today, like it or not, reading from it. I really like some of the phrases in it to help us connect with what Jesus is saying here. So this is Luke 6, verse 17. Coming down off the mountain with them, he stood on a plain, surrounded by disciples, and was soon joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea and Jerusalem, even from the seaside towns of Tyre and Sidon. They had come both to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. Those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Everyone was trying to touch him, so much energy surging from him, so many people healed. Then he spoke, "You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry, then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when the tears flow freely. Joy comes with the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and that that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb if you like, for even though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And know that you're in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. But it's trouble ahead if you think you have it made. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I didn't expect this morning, but I feel God's word burning in my bones right now. I just sense that God is speaking to us, that he's opening up our hearts. And you hear Jesus say things like, "You're blessed when you've lost it all." And I always want to say, "Really, Jesus?" And he pretty much says right here, "Really." He says, "You're blessed when you're so hungry." This one, he says, "You're blessed when tears are flowing out of your eyes." And we say, "Really, Jesus?" He says, "Really." What Jesus is introducing to us has for centuries and centuries and centuries to those who follow him. When you get to this point of following Jesus, you think, what you're saying, Jesus, sounds upside down. It sounds like the opposite of what you should be saying. I thought you'd be saying, I'm gonna give you all these things. I'm gonna fill you up. Your belly's gonna always be full and you're never gonna cry again. But instead, Jesus says, you're gonna experience the outpouring of blessing when you're crying. You're gonna experience the outpouring of blessing when you feel like you've given everything that you could give away. It sounds upside down because the world is actually upside down. It sounds weird because the world has gotten weird. What Jesus is actually saying is the truth. He's saying, "I can show you how to get things right side up, even in a world where we turn on the news and drones are shooting missiles at the Holy Land." How, Jesus? What are we to do? He says, "Live a different way because you live in a different kingdom." I'll say that again. Live a different way because you live in a different kingdom where Jesus is the king. I think I could probably sum up every sermon I'm going to preach this year with that line. Live a different way because you live in a different kingdom where Jesus is the king. So Christians do things that don't look like the world to show the world what the world is really supposed to look like. I really love that line, so I got it on a slide. I wrote it. It's my line. Christians do things that don't look like the world. I'm going to invite you to do something that like that today. Christians do things that don't look like the world to show the world what the world's really supposed to look like. Every Christmas Eve at Provident Church, we give our offering away. That's significant here because it's our biggest offering of the year. This year, it was $336,000. That's about 10% of our yearly income given away, not over the course of a year, but in a weekend. And it feels kind of upside down every time we do it. In fact, every time we do it, to myself, I just kind of have a moment like, are we really doing this? Because a lot of nonprofits would see December as a time to get your big income, meet your budget, those kind of things. But we see it as an opportunity to engage Jesus' upside down teachings and way of living. And to do that in a world that's really upside down. So many of you know we gave $166,000, which was significant for us, to start a Compassion International Center in Peru. The reason we did that and what this morning is all about is opening up the floodgates of blessing. So we honestly just told Compassion, Scott Limerick, who's from Compassion International, to become a dear friend of mine, is here today. We told him we wanted to help start a new center wherever it is needed. He did all this research. He said, how about Peru? I came back to him. I said, we love Peru. I don't even know if I'd ever heard of Peru, you know, but we love Peru. And so we're going to be a part of partnering with a local church there to start a center. Here's what a Compassion Center does. It takes care of kids. It rescues and releases them from poverty and helps make disciples of Jesus Christ. Practically, it does malnutrition monitoring and intervention, and it's a place for regular medical checkups. There's individual mentorship for kids and love. There's education assistance. There's skill training. There's job preparation. They're introduced to the love of God and Jesus Christ. Our gift was large enough that not only helping start the center, we also began five what are called survival programs with five existing compassion centers. Those are for pregnant moms and babies. The point is, they're started simply, Compassion recognized we needed to do something to get the babies to live until they can join the center when they're 4 or 5 years old. More than 6 million children under the age of 5 die every year because they're poor. And you've heard statistics like that before, but today's a way of us saying we can forget about that, or we as Providence Church can do something about it. Amen. 45% of those kids I just mentioned, their deaths are under age 5, occur in the first 30 days of their lives. They're babies. 7,000 newborn babies die every day. 7,000 babies die every day because of poverty. We won't be able to save 7,000 babies a day. But what if we could save 70 this year? 1 in 5 kids in the world don't have enough to eat. An estimated 61 million primary school age children in the world don't attend school because they can't afford it. We've heard stats like that before. Today's about we can forget it or we can do something about it. So I got to travel to the Dominican Republic in December with Scott and some others from the church. The purpose of that was to see if what Compassion does is for real. The first thing that struck me about a Compassion Center, I went and saw several of them, is that the center doesn't say Compassion International on it at all. It's a local church in a community. This is the first one we walked up on. I know you can't read the sign because most of y'all can't even read Spanish. But it's just the name of the church. And so in the community, Compassion's doing all these things, but what they know is the church, and they know the pastor, and they know the people that go to church there. They have classrooms there. This is one of the classrooms. That's my daughter, Lydia, who went with me. And, you know, Compassion does cool things. They do clean water. They make sure these kids have the medical care they need. They pay for them to go to school, but their purpose is to make disciples of them through a local church, which is our purpose. I got to see the survival programs, to meet the moms. Their survival programs is a room that looks just like one of our rooms. It's beautiful, it's nice, it's colorful. There's places for sensation, you know, for these kids who live on dirt floors. Lydia held every baby that we encountered, like every baby. I thought I was like, that baby's not in the compassion center. That's just a random baby on the street, you know. Sorry, I'm overwhelmed. It's for real. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. So the most impressive thing for me in going down there was meeting some of the young adults who talked about how sponsorship changed their lives. A person like you or me who's connecting with them and in relationship with them. So a child who's in poverty, once they get meals, which is amazing, after 3 or 4 months, they get used to the meals. But what they don't get used to is somebody who cares about them and who knows them and who writes to them on their birthdays and who remembers their graduations. My friend Mark and I, one of our closest friends we've been in covenant with for a long time, is the pastor of First United Methodist Church in Lebanon. His name's Ryan Bennett. He went with us on this trip, and he and his kid, their sponsor kid, was in the Dominican Republic. And so Compassion drove the kid in like 3.5 hours, and we got to be there when Ryan met his kid. Lydia was sitting there on the floor. It was this cool moment. I couldn't believe it. And then we went to Pizza Hut, which they have just down the street. And this dude killed like a whole pizza, didn't he? It was amazing. This tiny little guy, man. We're like, whoa, man. When we took him to a baseball game, he got kind of cold, and his grandma put this, you know, hand-me-down shirt on him. It was holy. And here's what a sponsorship does. This won't, my wife Rachel, we prayed about this last night. Here was our prayer. We're just praying that there would be hearts here that would be matched with every kid, you know, that we have here from Peru to sponsor. $43 a month. Here's what it does. Practically, this is what it does. These kids receive nutritious meals and clean water, most of them for the first time in their lives. I actually met an adult who said the first real meal I had was at the Compassion Center. They receive a few sets of clothing and a new pair of shoes. They receive immediate medical care, most of them the first medical care they've ever had. For kids living in extreme poverty, school is not an option. It's not public school. You have to pay for school. So a child who's sponsored through Compassion, their school tuition is paid, a school uniform is purchased, and they go to school. Then they also get tutoring at the Compassion Center. As they age, they receive important life skills training. This prepares them to have a career when they graduate. Every kid who's 13 in a Compassion program starts a program called My Plan for Tomorrow, and they get to put together with mentorship a plan for their career after they graduate. Compassion kids are constantly receiving Bible teaching that changes as they age, and it gives them the opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus, just like our kids are getting right now. They get the love and emotional support of a local church family, and then the one-on-one relationship with URI as their sponsors. And then finally, when they graduate from the program, this is the best part, the end result is a self-sufficient adult who knows the Bible, whose life's been transformed, and they have been empowered to never live in poverty again. And we get to grow as their sponsors in the blessing ourselves of giving away. Gerald Lorenzo is here from the Dominican Republic, who's going to come and share now. Actually, his brother Levi was one of, come on up, Gerald, was one of our guides. And he's just going to tell you a bit of his story. I wanted you to hear from him. Would you help me welcome Gerald?
Thank you.
Thanks, Gerald.
Thank you, Pastor. So, as the pastor mentioned, I am a former sponsor child of Compassion International, and I grew up in the Dominican Republic. And I always love to start sharing my story, talking about a conversation that I had with my mom a few months ago, and it was, I was asking her about her story because I wanted to understand my own story. And I discovered two things, and it was that she met her mother at the age of 19 years old. And the second thing is that she defines her father as a great man, but at the same time, as an abusive man. So because of that, she just decided to leave her house, and she decided to try to find a solution. And that solution, she was thinking that it was my father. So that was the moment when I was born. And 4 years after that, my father, he just decided to leave the house. And my mother, she had to raise my brother and me all by herself. So for me, that means that from that age, I never knew what it was like to have a father. So everything started to change in my life because I had to deal with extreme poverty, with no money to eat, no money to dress, no money to have an education. I always say that, unfortunately, I grew up in a lousy neighborhood in Santo Domingo where drugs, illegal weapons, crimes, and poverty were like my daily bread. And I saw during my childhood how the traffickers were selling drugs in the corner by my house. So some of the things that I have to face in my life because of that, it was me walking to go to my school with my broken shoes. I remember having that conversation with my mom saying, "Hey, Gerald, today we got 10 Dominican pesos and we need to choose between you taking that money for breakfast or you taking that money for transportation." So that means that the day that I took the money for transportation, I had to walk to go to my school. I didn't have a breakfast, but then the day that I took the money for breakfast, I had to walk to go to my school. So some of the things that I remember is also me knocking the doors of my neighbors and asking them for empty bottle of Coca-Cola and exchanging those empty bottles of Coca-Cola for bread and milk at the grocery store, selling juice and empanadas on the street to survive, selling hot chocolates and cookies at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning to try to get some money to buy food. But one of the things that I remember and that I never forget is that I didn't have a bed to sleep on. So my father, he never had time for me. At that time, he was a police officer. And I always say that do not having a father in your life, it is hard. But it is hardest when you don't mean anything to your father. And that was what happened to me. So I remember one day that I called my father. Monday morning, I was supposed to go to my school. And after like 14 attempts, he decided to pick up the phone. And when I talked to him, he asked me to stop by a police station to get some money to buy food. When I arrived to the police station, at the parking lot of the police station, I was waiting for my father from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m., and he never showed up. And I don't know if you can imagine a child waiting for his father in a police station, in the parking lot of a police station, just to get some money to buy food. That was my case. So one of my dad co-workers decided to call him, and when he passed me the phone, I remember that I talked to him and I say, "Hey, I haven't had breakfast, I haven't eaten anything." And his answer, it was just, "Go to your home, like I don't care about you, I haven't eaten anything either." So for me, that was like one of the most frustrated days of my life, because the man that was supposed to support me was just letting me know, like, "Go to your home, I'm gonna call your mom, like I don't care about you." And I remember that day walking back to my home. And when I was walking back to my home, I was crying because I was trying to understand why I was living that kind of life. But I also remember that I fell down into my knees and crying, I started praying to the Lord. And I say, "Hey, Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I promise you that I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life." And I was making, I don't know, whatever promise that came to your mind, that was the promise that I was doing at that time. Like, "Hey, Lord, if you get me out of this situation, I promise you that I'm going to serve to my community. I promise you that I'm going to open a foundation." I was trying to find hope in the middle of my desperation. So my mom, she was desperate. She didn't know what to do. She was trying at the same time to find a solution. And someone talked to her about a Christian school that was close to our community. She decided to go there, and when she arrived to that place, those people, they had a church, and at the same time, they had a compassion program. And what happened, it was that the church, by theirself, they decided to sponsor me with a 50% scholarship, and someone from the church talked to my mom and say, "Let's see if through this compassion program, you can receive the other 50%. So what happened, it was that they went to my house. They decided to take some pictures about my situation. They just figured out that I was one of those child that needs help. They create a child packet, like these child packets, and they send them to London, United Kingdom. And over there in London, United Kingdom, in a church, someone say, "Okay, I want to sponsor Gerald Lorenzo from the Dominican Republic." And that was the perfect time, because that was the moment when everything started to change in my life, because we found a place that provides food, uniform, transportation. But I always say, we found a place that provided the best of the best, and it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. So my elementary students were paid by Compassion, and my first bed was gifted by Compassion International. And it was that kind of bed that we call a bunk bed. And the reason why, it was because I was the one that was the sponsor, but they say, okay, his brother is also sleeping on the floor. What about if we buy something that can benefit both of them? So what happened after that time, it was that my mom, my brother, and I accepted Jesus Christ through Compassion International. And today, my mom, she's a co-pastor in a church in the Dominican Republic. So my brother, he's also working as an external host for Compassion International in the DR. And I always say that we are a great example that when you sponsor a child, you can change a whole family as my family. And at the same time, so many people tell me and ask me, hey, Gerald, tell me about your relationship with your sponsor. And I never met him in person, but Compassion has something that is called letters. And through the letters, we create a bond of a father and son that I never knew before. And you know what? When my father never called me to say happy birthday or say something special to me, I was always every year receiving letters from my sponsor letting me know, hey, Gerald, we are praying for you. We just want to let you know that you are so special for us and that the Lord has a big plan for you and for your family. And let me tell you something, he was right. So today my life is not like a roller coaster anymore. Thanks God, I am married to a beautiful woman from the DR. Her name is Vanessa. I got two beautiful baby girls. Valerie, she is 4 years old, and Victoria, she is two. And one of the things that I always love to share about me and my family is the things that one day someone decided to show me evidence about the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm not going to repeat the same story as my father. So one of the goals that I have in my life is that I want to be like that father for my daughters that I never had before, but at the same time to be that kind of husband for my wife that my mom never had before. So now I got a bachelor's degree in business management thanks to Compassion International. I got a certification in Christian leadership thanks to Compassion International. I am working in the immigration field helping so many people. And so many people ask me, hey, Gerald, tell me about you and your father. How is your relationship right now? And the relationship is that a few years ago in 2017, God allowed me to go to my father's house, talk to him about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and forgive him. And that picture that you are seeing right now is the only picture that I have in my entire life with my father. So why I decided to do that, because when Jesus came to your life, Jesus changed everything. It is not only to give you food, transportation, uniform. It is to change everything. And Jesus Christ changed my life. A few years ago, someone asked me about, hey, Gerald, can you tell me what Compassion did for you? And my answer was, I'm going to let you know what Jesus Christ is still doing in my life through Compassion International. And my answer was because my mom, she was diagnosed with something called Chiari malformation type 2. This is like a little tumor in the spinal cord, and it needs to be performed by a brain surgery. So my mom called me from the Dominican Republic, and she said, hey, Gerald, there is a doctor here that want to talk to you. He said that there is something wrong happening with me. She passed me the phone, and that doctor, he said, okay, your mom has this condition, and you know what? We need to act like quickly with her because if not, she's gonna start losing her body nerves, and she's gonna start like losing her body nerves, and she's gonna stay in a wheelchair. And what happened? It was that I asked my mom to come here to the United States because that doctor he say, you know what? I can give you the diagnosis, but I don't have any specialty in that kind of surgery. So my mom came here to the United States. We went to the Miami Jackson Memorial. And I was trying to find that doctor that was ending with the MD, PhD, and all the Ds, you know? And it was because I wanted to make sure, you know, that my mom, she was going to be in good care. But that doctor, he said, listen, we got a problem. And the problem is that your mom doesn't have medical insurance here in the United States. And I look at him and I say, okay, that's not a problem. I think at that moment I was thinking Dominican pesos. And he say, okay, if you got $55,000 in 2 weeks, we can prepare her and we can perform that brain surgery for your mom. And obviously, you know, my mom started crying and we started just thinking about, okay, how can we get that kind of money? But I look at my mom and I say, listen, if there is something that I know from you is that every day you are praying to the Lord, that every Saturday in the morning when I was crossing in front of your room, I was listening to you praying to the Lord, and I know that the Lord is going to provide for you. Something happened. My mom went back to the Dominican Republic, and like 3 weeks after, she called me because she was in a conversation in a medical appointment with someone that when she mentioned my name, that person say, did you say Gerald Lorenzo? And my mom said, yes. And that person say, was Gerald Lorenzo in Compassion International? And my mom say, yes. And that person say, is Gerald Lorenzo now in the United States? And my mom say, yes. And she say, listen, call Gerald, because if you are Gerald's mom, you are like my mom's. I need to talk to him. So my mom called me, she passed me the phone, and I remember that in that conversation, that lady, she say, hey, Gerald, did you remember me? It's Nugent Lee Vargas. And I say, of course, I know who you are. And she say, did you remember when we worked together in the Compassion program that you were a student at business management and I was a student medicine? I say, yes. She say, well, today I am a neurosurgeon, and your mom, that is my mom, she's here at my office, and I'm going to be the one that is going to perform that surgery for her. So, a former sponsor child was the person that performed that surgery for my mom. You know where? In the Dominican Republic. And you know how much do we pay for that surgery? Nothing. $0. So, I want to let you know that today we got the next neurosurgeon, the next pastor, the next missionary here. Who knows? But I want to let you know also that when you sponsor a child, you are not only sponsoring a child. You are changing a life as my life. You are changing a family as my mother, my brother, and I. But at the same time, you are changing an entire generation as my wife, my baby girls, and all the youth guys that I had the opportunity to work with. And I want you to keep that in mind, and it's that Jesus and the church are more powerful than poverty. Amen. Thank you so much for having me here.